We are now in ordinary time on the church calendar, which basically means no special holidays for a while. And that's okay, because every Sunday is a day to celebrate. Every Sunday is a holy day for us, the feast day of Christ's body and blood. The gospel readings in ordinary time start back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, going through his various teachings, parables, miracles, and so forth. We'll primarily be in the Gospel of Mark for a while. Today we begin in Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And we're going to be looking at two different stories back to back having to do with the Sabbath. Verse 23. Now it happened that Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" What was the Sabbath? The Sabbath was Israel's weekly day of rest, which for them fell on every Saturday. We heard from Deuteronomy 5, that's the second giving of the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment is to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. They did that by ceasing from their regular work and assembling together for worship. Sabbaths are called holy convocations in the Old Testament, a convocation being an assembly or a gathering. We're not given a lot of information on what they did on the Sabbath, but we know that corporate worship was a part of it. The priests offered sacrifices on the Sabbath. And by Jesus' day, we see Jews going to the synagogues on the Sabbath for Bible reading and teaching. You could say that the Sabbath was Israel's church day. It was very similar to what we do here on Sunday. They rested from work, devoting time to God's word and fellowship. There were other prohibitions on the Sabbath day given in God's law. For example, you weren't supposed to gather firewood or stoke a fire, and you weren't supposed to carry heavy burdens. Certain physical activities that weren't restful were prohibited. And breaking the Sabbath was a serious offense, resulting in the death penalty. This helps us understand the mindset of the Pharisees when they see the disciples picking grain. Their complaint was that the disciples were breaking the Sabbath, which was also a complaint against Jesus, right? How could Jesus be a true teacher if his disciples break God's law? With passages like this, some Christians assume that the Pharisees were correct in their assessment, that picking grain was indeed breaking the Sabbath. But remember that the Pharisees were legalists who added to God's word, added to God's law with their own man-made rules. If we know that about them, we shouldn't expect them to be correct in their assessment. And more importantly, we know that Jesus is a sinless Jew. So he wasn't actually breaking God's law. What the disciples were doing here was a form of gleaning. A form of gleaning. In Deuteronomy 23, God prescribed this practice. If an Israelite went through his neighbor's vineyard, he could pick and eat grapes, but he couldn't store any in a container. Only what he could take with his hand and eat at that moment. If he went through his neighbor's field, he was allowed to pick grain with his hand, but he wasn't allowed to bring a sickle and chop the crops down and take them home with him. Okay? He could only take what he could pluck with his hand in that moment. Similarly, in Leviticus 23, the Israelites weren't supposed to reap the corners of their fields. The corners were to be left alone for the poor and the stranger to glean from. This was a gracious law that provided a means of food for the poor. It was charity and compassion to the needy. And technically, there is nothing in the Torah that prohibits gleaning like this on the Sabbath. At least nothing direct or explicit. They still had to eat, didn't they? They had to prepare food. The basic necessities didn't stop on the Sabbath. And think about it. Is walking through a field and picking grain labor? No, not really. Is it carrying a heavy burden? No. The disciples weren't doing this as their job for money. They were gleaning for food on their journey. But the Pharisees had apparently outlawed this practice on the Sabbath. So Jesus was breaking their law, not God's law. He was breaking their laws. Consider the irony of it being their day of rest and the Pharisees saying, no gleaning. No gleaning on the day of rest. That didn't give rest and relief to the hungry, did it? No. It was oppressive to them. That's what the Pharisees were all about. Now we come to Jesus' response in verse 25. He said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests. That can be confusing if you don't know the story that Jesus is talking about. He's referring to 1 Samuel 21, when David and his men were fleeing from King Saul. David went to the tabernacle and he asked for bread because he and his men were hungry. And the priest gave them the holy bread from the tabernacle, the showbread. Ordinarily, the showbread was only for the Levitical priests. That's why it is such a puzzling story and why it's the perfect story for Jesus to use in this instance. Because on the surface, it looked like David and the priest were breaking God's law. On the surface, it looked like they were breaking God's law. And this likely occurred on a Sabbath day because that's when the bread was changed out and the priests would eat of it. So Jesus was pointing to a similar scenario in Scripture. Notice that he's always calling the Pharisees back to the written word. Have you never heard? He calls them back to Scripture in order to refute them. If what my disciples are doing is wrong, then what about David and the showbread? David and the priest weren't actually breaking God's law, and neither was Jesus and his disciples. Now, how would we explain David's scenario? Why wasn't it against the law for David to eat the bread? Well, also in Deuteronomy 23, we're told that military men during a war were to follow special holiness instructions. They were to keep themselves ceremonially pure for the duration of the battle, just like the priests were when they were on tabernacle duty. Okay? So priests are killing animals, sacrificing animals there in the tabernacle. What are the military men doing? They're going out and they're fighting and they're killing the enemy. Okay? But both were to abide by these holiness principles. This is why, if you think about it, if you remember the story later with David and Bathsheba, Bathsheba's husband Uriah would not sleep with her while a battle was going on. Why? Because of this law. That's why Uriah said, no, how can I go be with my wife when there's a battle going on? All right. Sexual relations were not sinful, but they did make one ceremonially unclean. And so that's why they were keeping themselves away from their wives. The priest said to David, there is holy bread, but only if the men have kept themselves from women. Meaning, that they have refrained from sexual relations, keeping themselves clean. David affirmed that they had not been with women for the last 3 days. So the priest allowed them to eat. When soldiers were on active duty, they functioned as temporary priests with priestly requirements. The law considered them holy. And that seems to be the reason why it was okay for David and his men to eat the showbread. Holy bread for holy people. That's why it wasn't against the law, even though it may have looked like it to a passerby. And neither was it unlawful for the disciples to pluck grain on the Sabbath, even if some people thought so. The point is for us to see Jesus as a new David here. Jesus and his men were hungry, just like David and his men were hungry. David and his men were holy. Jesus and his men are holy. If David himself did things that seemed unlawful, but really weren't, then so can Jesus, who is the greater David. He's the greater David. Really, we should view Jesus as a new Abiathar as well, a new and greater high priest. Like Abiathar, Jesus let the disciples eat, even when it looked wrong to certain people. Jesus continued in verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was asserting the true meaning of the Sabbath. The Pharisees had turned the Sabbath into something oppressive, something that no longer gave rest and relief to those who needed it. That was not God's intention for the Sabbath. God's intention was for man to be served on the Sabbath, not for the Sabbath to be served by man. The Pharisees had it flipped. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Here, Jesus was asserting his lordship over the Sabbath. He knows what's allowed and what isn't because he created it. He knows the law because he wrote the law. He is over the Sabbath and therefore greater than the Sabbath. Jesus is the one with the true interpretation. And so this was a message to the Pharisees and whoever else. You want the right interpretation of the Sabbath, the right interpretation of the law, you have to be aligned with Jesus. The very next story in Mark chapter 3 is very similar, and it continues, I believe, on the same day. But this time it has to do with healing on the Sabbath. Jesus went to the synagogue and met a man with a withered hand. It says, the Pharisees were watching to see if Jesus would heal the man so that they might accuse him. Evidently, they had prohibited healing on the Sabbath as well, which was not from God's law. This was another man-made tradition. Jesus told the man with the withered hand to step forward, and he said to the leaders, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" Seems like he was taunting them a little bit, doesn't it? He was putting forth a challenge. Gleaning with the hand is wrong? Then what about the healing of a hand? What about the healing of a hand on the Sabbath? Is that allowed or not? But they kept silent and did not answer him. Well, Jesus answered his own question when he told the man to stretch out his hand. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, the one with the true interpretation, he says healing is permissible on the Sabbath. Because it's another way of giving rest and relief to the needy. And for Jesus, the healing didn't even require labor. Did it? No. All he gave was a verbal command, and that was enough. There was no sense in which he was breaking the Sabbath. This infuriated the Pharisees, so they immediately plotted with the Herodians on how to destroy Jesus. Instead of being marveled by the miracle and happy for the man, they plotted to kill. That exposes their depravity and their hypocrisy. They didn't truly care about the Sabbath. Their hearts were murderous. That's what we find out. They didn't want to do good. They wanted to do evil. They didn't want to save life. They wanted to kill life. It was Jesus who was doing good works and healing and saving on the Sabbath. Jesus was doing that. The Sabbath breakers were the Pharisees and the Herodians. Think about this too. Is it obeying the Sabbath? Does it match the principle of the Sabbath to get together with your buddies to plot someone's death? I would think not. So these guys are just rotten to the core. Before the healing, it says Jesus looked at the Pharisees with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus was angry with them, and I'm sure they could tell when he looked at them. In fact, maybe they were intimidated by him, and maybe that inspired them to want to kill. But thank God for angry Jesus. Because when his enemies make him angry, he responds by healing his people. He responds by raising up the righteous. The enemies of God can plot and scheme and accuse, but that inspires Jesus all the more to respond with love and healing. And that is why his enemies will never win. Because no matter how much evil they push out, Jesus responds with more goodness and more love. He embodies the Sabbath. Well, how should we view keeping the Sabbath today? In the New Covenant, we don't keep the Sabbath like the Jews did. We keep the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. It's popular in Reformed circles to use the word Sabbath for Sunday, and that's okay. But there is a difference, and I think it's important that we maintain the distinction. Paul, writing to the Gentiles, says to not let anyone judge you regarding Sabbaths or other Jewish festivals. He says the Sabbath was a shadow, but Christ is the substance. Once Christ came, the shadow disappeared. That's Colossians 2. The Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ, but we're still to learn from it. The principles carry over into the new covenant. We cease from our labors to rest and worship on Sunday morning. Are any of you at work right now? No. Aren't you ceasing from your labors right now? Yes, you are. Okay? This means that weekly worship should be a priority for you. It was for Jesus, and he commands us to not forsake the assembly. Come to worship and plan your life around worship. Plan your road trips and your sports games around worship. I know that some vocations require working on Sunday, and that's okay. There's always exceptions. But for most of us, getting the whole day off, or at least the morning, would be preferable. Do your best to find a job that allows you to do that. Help your kids find jobs that help them do that. If you need to shop or work later in the day, that's not a sin. The sin would be neglecting corporate worship. The expectation is that you would love coming to worship, that you would be refreshed and renewed in the midst of God's people. Coming to worship should be a joy for you, not something you view as legalistic or oppressive. That is not God's intention for the Lord's Day. His intention is to give you life and peace and freedom and refreshment. Legalism is an issue in the church today. There are Christians who impose extra biblical standards on people, things that are not matters of sin according to the Bible. Some Christians say you can't drink alcohol or smoke a cigar. Ladies can't wear makeup or cut their hair. You can't go to the movies or listen to certain styles of music. You can't use instruments in worship, and you certainly can't dance. Dancing is not allowed. All of those things are Pharisaical. They're just repeating the errors of the Pharisees. Here's the neat thing. If you are in Jesus' army, if you have been made holy by him, then he will allow you to do things that others think are sinful. Let me say that again. Jesus will allow you to do things that others think are sinful. Just like with the disciples, and just like the man with the withered hand. When the legalists look at you and say, "You can't do that," Jesus says, "Yes, you can. I'm the greater David. I'm the lawgiver. I know what the rules are." Now, certainly, you shouldn't flaunt your freedoms or become rebellious over them and not let them lead you into sin. But don't let others weigh you down with false guilt. Jesus, your Lord, is the Lord of Sunday and every day. He says to you, "Stretch out your hand and I will fill it. I will fill it with grain, true grain, the bread of life." Holy food for holy people. That is what Jesus secures for you. Rejoice in this and don't let anyone convince you otherwise.